We're going to be talking about health a little bit. And usually when we talk about health, it just says, oh no, not another thing about health. Probably we know just about all there is to know about health. I'm talking about so that we can comprehend. And we're reading about it in the paper all the time. We'll read in the paper that caffeine is bad for you, and then we'll read next week that it's good for you, and then we'll read that we should eat this, and we'll read that we shouldn't eat it, and it's just going so on and so forth. By the way, have you noticed that they've come out with a thing that says that the wine is good for you? You notice that? And really, it's grape juice that's good for you. And so it's that whatever that particular element is in grape juice that's good for the heart. And in fact, if you want to save a lot of money, take your wine in pills. And that would be grapes, wouldn't it? And that way you've got it all. And so anyway, it does seem a little upsetting these days. We don't always know where to go. But we do have, as a church, we have wonderful counsel about health. But unfortunately, as we're going to talk about it today, that usually when you talk about health amongst our particular congregation, we end up just getting more and more guilty, and you know, it's even almost to the place where you say, "I don't want to hear about it anymore." I you know, it's driving me crazy. And well, anyway, we'll get into all that. I don't need to tell you, perhaps, that 80% of the diseases that afflict us, at least in our part of the world, we're talking about in America and Australia and Europe and what have you, is lifestyle induced. It wasn't always this way. Those of us who are at least 57 years old, we can remember where having pneumonia was really big, serious. I remember when I was a little boy, one of the things was when you were a little boy, when we were little kids, you couldn't get in the hospital until you were, what, 12 or whatever. Remember those days? You weren't allowed in. And then finally, that was your first rite of passage. You got to go to the hospital. And then you go in there, and there's those oxygen tent. Remember the oxygen tent? And those would be pneumonia people sometimes. Pneumonia was really, it was a serious thing. And nowadays, it's walking pneumonia. You walk in to come up and you meet one of your buddies there at the office. He says, "I got walking pneumonia." And so pneumonia's on wheels. Everything's portable these days, including pneumonia. And so also back in those days, too, we had polio. Some of you wouldn't even know what that was. By the way, polio is still alive and well in other parts of the world. But in this part of the world, it's not a big issue, but I can remember when I was a young fella, that summertime was the time for polio, and polio was an iron lung machine, or these awful ugly looking braces, and it was for life. And I can remember seeing a picture once of a doctor who got polio overseas, and they had to put him in one of these beds. You remember those pictures where he would just have to go up and down and up and down because apparently it paralyzed respiratory. And many, many thousands of children would be killed or paralyzed each year. And then, of course, that was taken care of with Salk and the other guy. What's his name? Sabin and Salk were the ones that delivered us from the fear of polio. My mother used to tell me, though, in the summer, before we had the polio vaccines, our preventative in our family was, she said, "Don't drink a lot of pop." You know, I mean, that was her, and don't swim in the ponds. I don't know what that was about, but that was kind of our old wives' way. You know, we'll fight it by not drinking a lot of pop and we won't swim in the pond. But it was a serious thing. But that's kind of in the past. And so lots of diseases that used to kill us are kind of a thing of the past, but we're in a whole new set of diseases. And we're talking about cardiovascular diseases, arteriosclerosis. And even some people are going in for their second, you know, heart bypass surgery. You know. And pretty soon they'll put a zipper in there and they'll just be able to do it faster. And perhaps 80% of cancers are lifestyle induced. Talking about hypertension. What we call sugar diabetes, as you know, and I'm not, by the way, a medical person, but sugar diabetes is not about sugar. It's about fat. And why is it that, did you know that? Yeah, it's about fat. See, what happens is the fat does something that on a cell, there's the insulin comes along and there's a key that's got to open it up to let the energy come in, and the fat blocks that. And so we're into fat these days. I was saying at lunchtime, why is it that if it's sweet and fattening, it's satisfying? You know, you could eat a room full of raw carrots and say, I'm starved. And if you notice how that goes, if it's a little bit greasy or it's kind of sweet, it's very satisfying. But anyway, I don't need to go into this. The point is that so much of that which is making us sick these days is lifestyle induced, particularly by the way we're eating. It has to do with the way we eat. I was in New York City one day riding in a taxi. Have you ever been to New York City? And I ridden in a cab there. And so I'm riding along in this cab, and I'm thinking, this guy makes his money from this machine. And so therefore, it's to his advantage to keep it in good shape and what have you. So it occurred to me, I'm going to ask this man how many miles he gets on his cabs. And so I said to the guy, how many miles do you get on your cabs? And and he said to me, he said, 250,000. Now what about that, fellas, girls? That's not bad. You know, if we could get 250,000 miles on our cars, we'd be happy about that. And so I thought, I'm going to ask him what his secret is, Pastor Bogus. And so I said, how do you do that? And now, you know, in New York City, you never know what to expect. He could have said, give me 50 bucks and I'll tell you, or, you know, that's for you to know, for me to know, you to find out, you know, how they speak English. By the way, don't be too hard on the New York people. It's the way they speak the language. They sound mean and rude, but they're neither mean nor rude. It's the language they speak. You know, even when they talk to people they love, they sound mean and rude. And have you noticed that? It's the language. It's the accent. I found them very delightful people. I go to New York City. I get lost. You know, I stop on the sidewalk. I say, how do I get to such and such a place? The guy in his New York accent, he says, well, I'll take you there. Just follow me. You know, really nice people. And so anyway, I ask this fellow, what's the secret? He doesn't bat an eyelash. He doesn't ask for $50. He says, I change the oil. I knew that already. I knew that. We all know that. I thought it was, you know, some secret carburetor, or, you know, you just go see Louis, tell him Joe sent you, and you know, whatever it was. But no, it's changed the oil. But you know, for a lot of people, you know what when I'm talking about? Huh? We're just using the car. We're just going to use, you know. And so one day we walk out, what's wrong with the car? My mechanic's cheating me. That Ford Motor Company no good. You know, we just carry on, you know. But it wasn't about that at all. It's not about the mechanic. It's not about the General Motors. It's just that, you know, you read the manual. It says change it. It says it's better to change it every 3,000 miles. But no, I think I'll save $5 so I can spend $25,000 more. Sometimes, you know? But anyway, isn't that the way it happens? See? And so we live the same way. You know, hey man, you know, I'm going to live the way I want to. And until one day, you know, by the way, when we get sick, who gets the blame? God. God always gets it. You can tell it by the way we pray. God, why did you let this happen to me? and you know, if, you know, God would say, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And then we'd say, oh, well, I just want to understand that. Then I know who must have done it. It was the devil. And so if we could see the devil, we'd turn to him and we'd say, why did you make me sick? And he would grin, his evil grin. And he would and he would say, nothing would have made me happier. Huh? Seeing you sick makes me happy, but I didn't do it either. You hear where I'm coming from? Yeah. We do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves. And then we blame God or blame the devil, you know. Like I heard somebody say, we burn the candle on both ends and blow the smoke into God's face. Now, just before I get started here. Before I get started here, you might be thinking, now listen, Pastor O'Phil, don't talk to us about health. We're Adventists. We are health. We are the personification of health. Go down the street there and talk to them about health. We are the ones that live 7 to 10 years longer, 12 or whatever it is, and so forth. But do you know something? The reason I think we need to talk about health is because fewer and fewer Adventists are into it. Do you know it's only about 30% that take it seriously? You know, the word gets out that Adventists are tend to be vegetarians. You know how many of them are? 25%. 25% would have it as a lifestyle. Another 25% would tend toward it, but would eat meat when they go out to eat and everything else. And the other. So we need to talk about it. And another thing I think that's been interesting to me in this area of health is that the new agers are in. I mean, health is in. I mean, I can remember the days when you go to a restaurant and you want a vegetarian meal, the people look at you cross-eyed. They think you're out of your mind. Huh? And now you can go to Burger King and ask for a veggie whopper, and it's the cheapest thing in the house. Did you know that? Now, don't ask at McDonald's, because they don't know what you're talking about. You know, you tell McDonald's and say, just make me something and leave out the hamburger, and they think, you can't do that. The thing will fall apart. And but at Burger King, you just say veggie whopper, and there you got it. It's the cheapest thing you can have. And another thing that I like too, by the way, while this is off the subject, I like the seven-layer burrito at Taco Bell. That's cheap as can be. Now you can say, I can't afford to eat out. No, you can afford to eat a seven-layer burrito, and it's loaded with stuff. It's got rice and beans and all kinds of stuff, guacamole and everything. So anyway, that's just off. But anyway, you hear where I'm coming from. Many of us that should have been well-grounded in health now are experimenting in unhealthy lifestyles. And I think we're doing it kind of a little bit in an adolescent way. You know, well, they told us we couldn't, now we're going to prove we can. You know, so well, what's the point? And anyway, speaking of New York City, I was in New York City on another occasion visiting the Van Ministry. And that was fun. I think it was probably in the month of April. Spring was not, you know, full bloom yet. But you could see the leaves were kind of coming out. On the particular day that we were in the Queens, on this van that I was on, it got a little bit rainy, a little bit chilly, so that you still put your jacket on, but you put your coat on. And of course, they're taking blood pressures there. So on the van comes this lady, I would judge, she's probably 32, 33 years old. She comes on to have her blood pressure taken. And she's wearing her coat and everything. And so we get talking about health. She said, I used to weigh 240 pounds. And I didn't say, how much did you lose? But I looked at her and I just think, well, let's see. I think it was 230 pounds she used to weigh. But anyway, I guess she had lost 100 pounds. And so I said to her, how did you lose the weight? And she said, by prayer. I thought my ears were going bad. I'm serious. Excuse me, ladies. It could go for us men too, but the ladies are particularly sensitive to this. You ladies have heard of Herbalife and Jenny Craig and even there's signs up down there in Florida where I live, lose 30 pounds in 30 days, $30. That's the crazy stuff. But anyway, I've heard of all that stuff. But prayer. I, it was so strange to me when she said that. Believe it or not, when I thought it wouldn't insult her, I asked her again. I said, how'd you lose the weight? She said, prayer. Then I knew I was really dumb. Because I thought, I'm supposed to know what that means, and I don't. And I'm too embarrassed to ask her. And so we kept on talking about other things, and that was the end of it. But it was in my head. Well, I don't know what the perspectives were for timing. But I got a letter from my dad. It was probably soon after that. And my daddy is 83 years old. And, you know, such a guy he is. You know, some dads will talk to you about, you know, your golf game or the weather or whatever it is. But this guy, he has one thing, and that's he wants to win souls and see the kingdom of God come. And even when he used to write to me, he'd write me sermons. In longhand. Bad handwriting. So I get a letter from Daddy with that longhand, bad handwriting on lined paper. No. I'm going to have to stop what I'm doing. I'm going to have to quit my job to read his letter. Have you ever seen people write like that? Huh? You know, it's all from the heart. But you'd say, I'm going to have to decipher this. I got to decode this letter. But anyway, I'm thankful that I did on that particular day, because I sat down, I started to read the letter, and Daddy was writing to me about the Holy Spirit. And it was a new thought to me then, because Daddy was talking about the Holy Spirit. Now watch what I'm about to say. He said, you know, we're talking about so much these days about the gifts of the Spirit. You know, we even have spiritual gifts inventories and all that. Have you taken those tests or whatever, you know? And we're so much into gifts of the Spirit that there's even been some of our brothers and sisters in Christ of other denominations will walk up to you sometime and they'll say, "You have the Holy Spirit?" What do they mean? Do you speak in tongues? See, that's the way they test that. By the way, I was talking with a man who used to be a charismatic pastor, and he said it used to really confuse me that couples who were living together in adultery would have the gift of tongues. Remember some of these very famous ministers that were very, very famous who were hanging out with prostitutes never ceased to have the gifts of the Spirit. And so, see, this was the point Daddy was making, really. Because he said, you know, if being able to do stuff just means unequivocally that you've got the Holy Ghost, then Judas must have had the Holy Ghost. Because, you know, Jesus sent them out to do miracles, and it doesn't say Judas was left out. And then Daddy just carried it on a step further. He said, if just being able to do miracles means you got the Holy Ghost, then the devil must have the Holy Ghost. Because the Scripture says he has miracle-working power. He appears as an angel of light and does miracles. So the point was, Dad was saying, he said, I don't think we ought to use spiritual gifts as an indicator of who's got the Holy Spirit, because that can be a black marketed and, you know what I'm saying? Imitate. Daddy said, really, when we talk about who's got the Holy Spirit, instead of using as the barometer the gifts of the Spirit, we ought to use the fruit of the Spirit. And then he referred to Galatians 5. Well, when he did that, you know, he was talking to me then, because at that particular time, I was really interested in that. And so I went to Galatians 5, and you've read it before, where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now this word temperance, by the way, in some of the other versions and in Spanish, will come out dominio propio. And ladies and gentlemen, that word is self-control. So that the fruit of the Spirit and all these other things is self-control. When I saw that, it really jumped out at me, particularly that self-control part. Because I could see that though I had really addressed in my life, you know, some of these other things, or at least I had comprehended, you know, which direction I was going. I could see how much that I lacked self-control. I could tell by the way I eat. I don't know if you've discovered it. You don't know me very long now. But I'm a type A personality. Have you noticed? I'm a type A personality. And you know us type A personalities, watch us eat. I mean, hey, listen, we don't have, you know, you don't have to say hurry up and eat. We're finished by the time you said that. You don't have to say, would you like another helping? Honey, we've already had two or three. You didn't see it. We're just going at it. We're just eating. It's just the way, you know, it's just the kind of guys we are. And of course, we have to, when we eat, we have to drink like fish or we'd choke to death. Huh? Because we don't chew our food. Right? And so there we are. I mean, if I go to your house and you get a little plate of cookies and say, would you like a plate of cookies? I say, you got to be kidding. I don't say it out loud. I say, you got to be kidding. I'll eat the whole plate. And so I could see that was really built into my life. That was just the kind of the way I was living. And so it intrigued me to look at this self-control thing. And I thought, you know, I love Jesus. You love Jesus, don't you? We're sons and daughters of God. You know that, don't you? He promised to give us the Spirit. You know that, don't you? then let's go ahead and ask Him for it. And when I saw that self-control thing, that intrigued me. And I said, I want that. I'm a type A personality. I go so fast, the Holy Spirit can't even keep up with me. And I'm going to start praying for self-control. Now, let me just tell you something before I get started. Going to this eating thing. See, you might think, well, the reason I eat so much is because my stomach's big. And if I don't fill it up, it echoes. Or you might think, if my salivary gland overproductive. When I start to eat, if I don't eat a lot, I drown. Or you might say, oh no, Dick, you don't know me. My mom, Italian lady. But she cooked a lot of food. I'm not eating all of her food or she'd get mad at me. I don't want my mama mad at me. Or you might say, it's a Safeway. 10,000 items. And I have to try each one. That's the reason I'm eating so much, because I want to check it all out. Now, I'm only saying this because listen to me. This is serious now. You may not think it's serious. If our problem is that our stomachs are too big, or that our salivary glands are overproductive, or that it's mama's cooking, or that it's Safeway, there's no hope for us. There's nothing in the gospel about giving you a new stomach or a new mama. But you see, friends, our problems are not about stomachs and salivary glands and mama's cooking. It's up here. We're out of control, most of us. At least here's one that is. And so I begin to pray for self-control. And I want to tell you, if you don't mind, by the way, am I the only person here? Is there anybody else can identify? So I begin to pray about self-control. Let me tell you what happened. I wish Betty was here today. She'd probably be sitting about right there where you are. It was wonderful how Betty came into my life, and she's been such a nice person, much more than I deserve. And here I am, a type A personality. She's not that way. She's kind of laid back. And us type A personalities, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one like this, we just throw stuff around. Take it all, throw it. Finish with it, throw it. You better put on your shield. Your husband's not going to give you an elbow. Oh, he's not the type. Anyway, that was the kind of guy. That's the kind of guy that's how I come. See, and so during the years of our marriage, see, I'd come home at night, you know, and I'd take off my office things and put on something else. I'd throw the stuff down. I just throw it down. But I never saw it because she put it away. Honey, if you go to our house, it was always nice. But guess who's doing it? Not me. I'm messing it up. She's keeping it nice. Now, you won't believe this. What was I praying for? One day, believe it or not, I come home from the office. I don't know what day it was. And I'm taking off my clothes, to change clothes. Suddenly it occurs to me, Sandra, hang them up. Now, before I go on, you're going to say, oh, no, Ophiel, don't do this to me, man. I didn't come to have you put me on a guilt trip. Now you stand up and you say all that stuff. Now you say, I've got to hang up my clothes, get out of my face. No. I'm just telling you what happened to me. I was praying about what? Self-control. I come home from the office. One day after all these years, occurs to me, hang up your clothes. So I went and hang up my clothes. Now, did I feel guilty? No, because I wasn't even thinking about it. I wasn't taking a seminar in how to keep neat. I wasn't reading books and hang up your clothes and have a nice closet. I was praying for. And suddenly there occurs to me, hang up your clothes. So I began to hang up my clothes. And then when you begin to hang up your clothes, you begin to notice something about hanging up clothes. And see, you know how we have these, now I know, you know, some of these houses have a his and her closet. We have a his and her side of the closet. And so you can imagine, you know, what her side would be like. Do, 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 do. It's really nice. Huh? With his shoes. Toot, 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 toot. Huh? With his shoes. Toot, 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 toot. See? But you could also imagine what my side of the closet would be like. Shoes pigeon-toed and everything. And so when I begin to hang up my clothes in the closet, I go and I say, hey, this is, I don't like my side of the closet. And so I actually took my suits and I put them all together, and I took the pants all together, put the shirts all together, put the shoes and all. Now, she wasn't hassling me, huh? She wasn't hassling me. She never said, I don't even remember her saying, pick up your clothes. But I was praying that the Lord would give me self-control. And here I am, old type A me, hanging up my clothes and now fixing up my closet. Do I need to say anything about the garage, fella? Do you know what the garages are like for us type A personnel? I mean, forget getting the car in. You can't get the car in. If it's a two-car garage, you can only get one in. Maybe a bicycle you can get in. And so I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened. I looked at my closet my garage one day, and I said, this has got to go. And there was an old broken down tool table, or what do you call it, work table over on one side. It had been over there for years, man. And I went over and I looked at that thing. I said, man, I have to fix this up. And I went and got some paint and some plywood and some pegboard. And I got that thing all fixed up and I moved it and I shifted it around, put the pegboard up, and I got hooks. Then I began to hang up my tools. Hey, if you're a type A personality, you got tools you don't know you got. You got more tools than you need. You know why, don't you? Because type A personalities don't put tools away, so they lose them all. You know, it's like a hammer in a haystack. See, it's in there someplace, but I can't find it. So I go buy another one. I mean, screwdriver, pliers, everything all over the place. So I got more pliers than I need. I got hammers that I just wish I didn't have, that I had accumulated through the years. But isn't there a saying someplace, a place for and everything? Now you're saying, well, what about the eating part? Yeah. 20 pounds I lost.
Oh, I don't mean that.
You're born that way. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus changes it. Yeah. That's what I'm telling you about. See.
Didn't your mother hassle you as a kid?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I'm sure she tried to train me to be neat, but you see, and your personality is that way. You see, this is the marvelous thing about the gospel. See, you can have a mama with a big stick, or you can have a policeman with a gun, and you can just do wonderful things. But the most wonderful thing of all is the new heart. Huh? Now, I'm still a type A personality. It isn't like, hey, I'm cured. That's me. But you know, God can do wonderful things with type A personality. You know, there's an upside to that. And so it's affected the way, look, that's not bad for 57, is it? Now, I'm still a pig. Absolutely. But see what happens is this. Now, listen to me. Now, when I say that, in other words, if I quit praying about this, I go right back to where I was. Because that's who I am. Now, I don't want to just hang up on the food part. But let me speak to that food part for just a minute. One day a lady came to me with a book, Counsels on Diets and Foods. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
She asked me a question. She said, you want to be a member of the 144,000? She's got you covered. She might as well just lean up against, you know, she's got you. You got to say yes. You can't say no. But you know she's got you. You don't know what you're going to get. You know you're going to get something. So you say yes. She sticks a thing in your face and says, here is a translation diet. Translation diet. No, there's a, no, you know, there is a page for that, I think, probably. But I want to tell you something in case you didn't know. It may be true, probably is true, that those who are translated will have moved beyond the flesh diet. But that isn't why they're translated. For all I know, the whole world will have moved beyond it, for all I know. Don't think for a minute that a vegetarian diet is what gets you ready for heaven. Just don't think that. Because if that's what got you ready for heaven, then the devil will get ready for heaven. The New Agers would already be ready. Are you hearing where I'm coming from? Those who are ready for heaven will be those that the Holy Spirit gave them the fruit of the Spirit, which includes self-control. See, I began to realize, when I got into this stuff, I began to get victory. I even got victory over cookies. Oh, sure. But you know something? What happens to you when you get victory over cookies? You begin that when you see other people eat cookies, you see them as lesser life forms. You eat cookies. No, you hear where I'm coming from. No, you do, you do, you do. And not only that, and you see, worse than eating cookies is pride. There'll be people in heaven who ate cookies, but there won't be proud people there. And to make matters worse, not only do we get proud when we get victory over cookies, we sneak one once in a while. Which makes us hypocrites. Proud hypocrites. It's the worst of all the worlds. It's the worst of all the world. So this is why when I begin to really contemplate this, I begin to realize that it's easier to get victory over cookies than it is to eat just two or three. Ladies and gentlemen, we are either eating the whole box or we got victory over. You know, and I really believe, and I'm going to cover it in just a second, that when God gives us the gift of self-control, we can actually have two or three cookies to the glory of God. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but it's a sin to eat sugar. Oh, right. Listen, come on now. I'm ready for you. Huh? If sugar was a sin, like adultery is a sin, it would be a sin everywhere you find it, like adultery is wrong everywhere you find it. That would make sugar wrong in an orange. Come on now, think with me. In the same way, there is no such thing as unnatural sugar unless it's these artificial sugars. The white sugar is natural sugar. You know where it comes from? Sugar cane, that's right. It's just processed, that's all. The same way with fat, people say, fat, it's wrong. No. If that was wrong, like lying is wrong, it would be wrong wherever you find it. You see, this is why I say to people, now hang on. I say, don't give up eggs, give up adultery. But play down eggs. You see, eggs are about cholesterol. And if you're not sensitive to cholesterol, you're going in for your second heart bypass. Now hang on now, don't get mad. If you play down eggs, you may never eat another egg as long as you live, for all I know. But it means that if you should slip and accidentally have an egg salad sandwich, you don't have to be rebaptized. Isn't that comforting to know that? In the same way I say, don't give up cheese. Give up lying. Lying. Play down cheese. Play it down. Cheese is about fat. Do you know this Philadelphia cream cheese we like to put on our celery? Yeah. You might as well put Vaseline on your celery. I mean, it's it's fat. It's fat. See, if you're not sensitive in the 90s to this stuff, then you wonder, why, God, why did you let this happen to me? And God said, I didn't do that. The devil, no, I didn't do that. You're an idiot. Isn't that true? Now, if you should play down cheese, you may never eat cheese again as long as you live. But it should also, it also means if you're playing down cheese and you see somebody else eat cheese, you won't criticize them. And it's better to eat pork than criticize your neighbor. And you know how bad it is to eat pork. I just thought that's what it is. See, this is why this health thing is will blow up in your hand. We do sometimes more damage internally with this health thing than it was ever meant to be. That's why we've got to get it right. We've got to put the emphasis on the right syllable. We've got to realize that this self-control thing is what our problem is. Now it's true, going into the food thing. We're talking about cane sugar. See, every time you process a food, you make it more expensive and you lower its nutritional value. And by the way, you say, but I know where Mrs. White says don't eat sugar. No. Read that paragraph again. She said don't eat too much. And when I was visiting and talking to her granddaughter out there at Elmshaven, I remember she said clearly, Grandma used to like to put sugar on sliced tomatoes. And I thought, oh no, please don't say that. Then I realized, wait a minute. This woman was a hypocrite. I got it wrong. So what we try to do in the area of nutrition, the closer we can come to eating it the way it comes out of the ground, the better it is. Every time we process it, we make it more expensive, and we will begin to confuse its nutrition. It's like a potato. One potato is how much? 10 cents, 15 cents. 100 calories. Two potatoes. 20 cents, quarter. 200 calories. Two potatoes into a box of Pringles. 1,300 calories and what? $2.50. See what can happen to you? Start fooling with it. But you know, you might say, but Pastor Phil, I'm glad to tell you that all I have for dessert is carrot cake. You know, carrot cake is the heavenly dessert. But I don't care whether it's carrot cake or apple, you know, whatever it is, it's still 500 calories. It's, you know, even though you've sanctified it with carrots. Do you know how many carrots you'd have to eat in their natural state to come out with 500 calories? This whole room full. So the way it comes in this natural state, it's really, you can just about eat all you want and come out. Now, if, having said this, because we've got to realize that health is not just about food. You know, and really watch it too. You know, the spirit of prophecy is very balanced. We're the ones that are unbalanced. You know, I heard someone say, like the little lady that says, takes up the spirit of prophecy and she reads the quotation and says, we eat too much. So she quits eating a little bit. Then in her devotional next week, she reads, we eat too much. She cuts it back again. So finally, the poor thing just starves to death. But wasn't meant to be that. Anyway, this thing about health, if we put a table here and we put all the components of health on it, and then an angel comes down from heaven and says, you can only pick one component, which will it be? Take exercise. You see, our forefathers, they used to eat pork rinds, greased in pork and garnished with pork. And look, they made it. But they walked behind a mule all day. You know, they were burning 5,000 calories. But not us. We're not walking behind mules. We're setting. We're couch potatoes. You know, you come, and my wife and I have thought of this so often. We come home from work, having set all day, what do we want to do? Drop down on the couch and set some more. What we need to do is say, get yourself, and we do that, you know. We've joined a health club, Bally's Health Club, and so we have to just make ourselves, we don't want to. We just make ourselves go, now down there in Florida it gets pretty hot. And it's almost so hot, we were out walking this week out around the community there by, you know, 8 o'clock, 8:30 night, still when it's in the 80s, high 80s, it's really hard on you, a lot of humidity. So we like to go to that health thing there, and they have a walking track. You go around it 16 times, and you got a mile. And I let her count, because I can't bear to count. And by the way, you don't have to join a health club to walk even in hot weather. These shopping centers down in Florida will open up early in the morning, and you can walk in the air-conditioned comfort, and they'll have even walking tracks, some of them, where people go and walk. So of all the things about health that are most important to us, probably our exercise or lack of exercise is affecting us hugely. And then the matter of drinking. You know, sometimes we'll say, well, I'm thirsty. I think I'll get myself a soda. You know, I'm thirsty for a soda. No, we're not thirsty for a soda. We're thirsty for water. Now, that's what the body wants. The body wants water. We paint soda on it. You may be surprised. Water was originally made for drinking and keeping us clean. It wasn't made for it to be put into all this other stuff. And, of course, what we'll do is sugar it. And now, one thing I do like, and this is a personal thing, I like this thing that got started in restaurants where they'll say water with a little lemon. Sometimes that can be nice. You don't have to throw any sugar in it. And it gives it just a little tart, and it makes it fun to drink. Have you noticed that yet? You can do that. And so there's ways to actually enjoy being healthy without being guilt-ridden and say, oh, I hate myself, and, you know, go from one extreme to... Because this is what we're doing. We're just beating ourselves up on it. But I have found so much, and it's such a blessing to me. Number one, to know that I'm a son of God, that He loves me, that He's given me the Spirit, and with the Spirit comes self-control. And if I ask for this, all these changes it brings into my life. Now you might say, Dick, you know, I got good news for you. I don't even need to pray for self-control. Because just I white-knuckle it. I walk 3 miles a day. I drink 8 glasses of water. And I've just arrived. So I really don't need to pray for self-control. But I might say, my son, my daughter, go ahead and try it. It might affect the way you treat your wife. Because self-control is the hook by which it all hangs. Well, that's my one health talk. How was it? How do you feel now? Yeah, better? Sure, of course. By the way, now I'm going to have a little altar call. Start the music. Am I the only one here that would appreciate and needs self-control? If you're like me, raise your hand. That's just about everybody. Now there's a few in denial. But remember, self-control comes from heaven. You don't have it inside you. It comes from heaven. It's a gift. It comes because of Jesus. This is part of the new life. So why don't we, as we close this first, what we're going to do, this is just about an hour. How was it? It wasn't too painful, was it? Can we do this? We'll just go staggering through this afternoon, one after another. Because what we're going to do is have a series of prayer. We're going to have prayer. We're going to pray 2x2s. What are we going to pray for? You got it. She's allergic to exercise. And so we're going to pray for self-control. We're going to thank Him for the gift of self-control. We're going to pray for this balance. By the way, you know how long it takes to form a new habit? Around 30 days. So if you go out of here and you feel this inspiration in your heart and you say, you know, Lord, I really want that for my life. And by the way, the changes we need in our lives are about this many. Have you noticed that? If you're like me, just take one. In other words, don't say, you say, I need to change 10 things in my life. I'm going to change 10. No, it's too much. Break it up. Just take them all. And which one should you take first? The one that's sticking out. Just take it and let Jesus walk you through it. And then after about 30 days of this new life, it'll be easier than it was the first day. Because we've got bad habits. See, now we know that we ought to do the right thing. And say, well, I know I should, but then every time the thing comes, we do the wrong thing. So we have to set up patterns of doing the right thing for a while, and then give us some options. Takes about 30 days to pull that off. So let's pray about that, and then we'll have a moment of quietness, and then we'll take a break. So I'll pray over here. We'll pray 2x2s. Everybody pray with somebody. Now, you might say, Pastor Phil, when you talk about praying out loud to people, I get nervous. I'll pass out. Or I'll leave. I'll leave if you make me pray. No, you don't have to pray. You don't have to. But it's nice. You talk, don't you? You can. You might say, I've never done it before. You can. Right after this, we're going to do a little prayer seminar for a couple of rounds. Prayer is, see what happens is this. You read Scripture, and Scripture can make you feel guilty of sin, literally. But when you hook prayer with that, then you get victory. So we've got to get this prayer thing. Okay, so let's pray to this.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.